12:34 is the time. We can still say, though, that things here are considerably better than they are in the United States, of course, where our Washington correspondent Simon Marks plies his trade. And he joins me now. And what I want to steer you towards immediately, Simon, if I may, is something that I thought was going to stay in the realms of fiction for a little longer. I'm thinking of Alex Garland's recent film, Civil War, where a very far-right president essentially deployed the military from one state on the ground in another state against the wishes of the governor or government in that state. And I think we're already there, or as near as damn it, aren't we?
We are absolutely there, James. Not just deploying the National Guard from other states, but federalizing the National Guard in, for example, Illinois and Oregon, and taking them over and deploying those states' National Guard on their own streets, reporting to him, the president of the United States, not to the respective governors of those states. I think that over the last few days, the situation has taken a really very, very dangerous turn. We are now seeing, particularly in Portland and in Chicago, direct confrontation on the streets between the armed, masked thugs, and I think that it is perfectly reasonable to use that phrase to describe them, who have been recruited to work for Donald Trump's Immigration and Customs Enforcement Division. They are deployed in great numbers in both cities, now backed up by the National Guard, the federalized National Guard from those states and others that have been sent in. They are racially profiling, sweeping people off the streets without asking any questions before they take them in. Only once they get into ICE detention facilities are people then given an opportunity to prove whether they are American citizens, permanent legal residents of the United States, or in some cases, illegal immigrants that the government can then slate for deportation. And the more muscular and brutish that effort becomes by these Immigration Customs Enforcement Division agents, the more now the local police departments in Portland and Chicago, over whom Donald Trump has no writ, are pushing back. So over the weekend, we saw astonishing scenes in Chicago where ICE accidentally tear gassed members of the Chicago Police Department in a standoff outside the Broadway detention facility that the Immigration Customs and Enforcement Division operates there. The police chief in Broadview, which is a suburb of Chicago, says that he is now considering taking criminal charges, laying criminal charges against the federal government over a series of phone calls that ICE agents have placed to the emergency services, describing things that are, they say, taking place outside the detention center. And then when the police arrive, they discover nothing's taking place outside the detention center. So the local police chief says they are trying to foment unrest by goading police into attending the scene where, you know, maybe a handful of protesters are gathered outside, sometimes not even that. So he's accusing the federal agents of wasting police time. And in Portland, astonishing scenes overnight where at one point police officers were threatening to arrest ICE agents who seemed intent on driving one of their vehicles into a crowd of protesters. So you don't, you know, you don't have to be a visionary to understand that the danger of all of this spinning out of control, with all of these people carrying guns, all of these people carrying weapons, and by the way, some of the protesters and demonstrators also armed, this is an absolute tinderbox now.
And it's not an accident, to be clear. I mean, they seem to be seeking the kind of conflict and confrontation you're introducing the possibility of, or not even the possibility, it's already started happening. And this fits with your thesis from just a couple of months ago, that the madder things get on the streets, the easier it will be for him to call off the midterms.
Yes, this is absolutely deliberate strategy now, James. I mean, he's been open this week. He's thinking of invoking the 1807 Insurrection Act, which will then allow him, he argues, Donald Trump, to deploy American troops, not just the National Guard, active duty troops and Marine Corps members onto the streets of cities that just happen all to be run by Democrats. If you saw that astonishing interaction between Donald Trump and his Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, last week, with all the generals and the admirals who were traipsed back to Washington, ordered to leave their commands and return to Washington, D.C., and they sat there in stony silence, listening to their commander-in-chief telling them that there is an enemy within, in the United States, that they now need to be ready to battle on America's streets. This is not speculative. This is not, this is absolutely not from the pages of fiction. He is telling us exactly what he's going to do. And you know, when Nigel Farage referring to other things that Donald Trump has said, you know, the reference to Sharia law in London and his claim that the cities of Europe are all going to hell, Nigel Farage says, well, you must take him seriously, but not literally. It's a huge mistake. You should take him literally because he tells you exactly what he's going to do. And then, as you and I have charted over the last several weeks, we see it all playing out right in front of our eyes.
I can't keep asking you the same questions, but the escalation is underway. Did you see the Stephen Miller exchange on CNN when he used this word plenary authority?
Yes, yes.
I mean, how significant do you think that is? I wouldn't ask, actually, because I thought that it was just a bit of blue sky mischief, but it is being picked up by serious people as evidence of what might be coming next.
Yeah,
and,
no,
and Stephen Miller actually sort of suddenly realising he's said it too soon, he said it out loud, and he has a weird sort of glitch, doesn't he, where he just goes silent for a while. I'll play the clip after I finish talking to you.
Yes. I mean, Stephen Miller's on an obvious trajectory here. This is a man who 2 months ago described the Democratic Party as a domestic extremist organization.
This is led by Joe Biden.
Yes, correct.
Until recently. Yeah.
And then within the last couple of weeks, that rhetoric has accelerated and he started talking about the Democrats and what they refer to as the radical left as being terrorists. And he is absolutely determined, he says, to proscribe them. He has spoken of exiling them. We're seeing many of his acolytes, including the Secretary of Homeland Security, Kristi Noem, completely trampling on the Constitution. She started questioning suspects yesterday in Portland, you know, suspected illegal immigrants. No rights were read to them. There were no constitutional processes. Imagine the Home Secretary, imagine Shabana Mahmood taking to the streets after Manchester and striding up on camera to police cars and demanding to question people. I mean, it's absolutely extraordinary. And where Stephen Miller talks about plenary authority, they are talking about a national state of emergency eventually being declared in the country. And all of what we're seeing this year is a test bed for what they're going to do on a much grander scale next year if Donald Trump concludes that Republicans are going to lose the midterm elections.
And if the Democrats don't find a way to successfully respond or resist, Gavin Newsom and some others trying, I think it's fair to say, and not failing completely yet.
Yeah, not failing completely. I mean, Gavin Newsom has cut through a bit with his sort of the many interviews that he's given and also the use of his social media account to poke satirical fun at the President of the United States. But the problem that the Democrats have got is that they seem, certainly those elected lawmakers on Capitol Hill, absolutely unable to hold any of these officials to account. If you watched any of the testimony of the Attorney General Pam Bondi before the House, the Senate Oversight Committee yesterday, she treated that committee with utter disdain. She engaged in ad hominem personal attacks on every single Democrat on the committee. She sidestepped again and again questions about Donald Trump's relationship with Epstein, about the head of the entire mass deportation program, who we know was being investigated by the FBI several months ago for taking, for allegedly taking a $50,000 bribe. Every time she was asked questions about it, she fiddled with her makeup. At one point, I think she takes some chewing gum out of her mouth and wraps it into a paper tissue and treats the Oversight Committee with total disdain. So if you watch that stuff, what you're seeing, again, is the collapse of the checks and balances, the collapse of the governing system. It's not fit for purpose, and Democrats are finding it absolutely impossible to use the rules of the road, even to hold these people to basic account for what they're doing.
Simon, always a it's always a pleasure to talk to you or to listen to you, but it's not a pleasure to reflect upon what you are reporting. You haven't been wrong for a while, have you? Do you think you might be wrong this time?
There's always every possibility, James, that I could be wrong again. I've been wrong before, but it does all keep moving in a very, very unsavory and dangerous direction.
It does, and I am conscious of not doing enough, perhaps, to reflect and report it, albeit that it's not happening here, it's happening over there. Have a listen to this. This is the Deputy Chief of Staff, widely seen as the sort of most extreme member of the Trump administration, saying during an interview that Donald Trump had plenary authority, which would essentially mean that he has freedom to do whatever he wants, most obviously with the National Guard, something that can only be bestowed or achieved or triggered if this country is in a state of national emergency. So just join the dots. You invent a national emergency, you know, it's the Reichstag fire. And you claim that you need the powers that essentially render you a dictator, but you're not supposed to say it yet. And the really interesting bit about it is when he goes silent. Have we got the bit where he goes silent? Because there's some... Just have a listen. Here it is.
Under Title 10 of the U.S. Code, the president has plenary authority. Stephen? Hey, Stephen, can you hear me? Stephen, I apologize. It seems like we're having a technical issue. We'll try to fix that and get back to you after a quick break. Stay with CNN.
It could be. Some suggestion that it wasn't a technical glitch at all. In fact, quite a lot of suggestions. It may even have been concluded that he just cut himself off mid-sentence, leaving his statement incomplete. You can tell because his lips weren't moving. But he was. The time now is 12:47.